This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Great customer service because they'll do everything they can to save you money while making sure you are fully insured. The pros, just good people. And it is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So, we do know that Penn State, Illinois, by the way, will be a night game. It'll either be 7 or 7:30. They haven't determined what network yet. But it's either 7 or 7:30 Eastern time. Okay? And my guess is, well, I'm not going to be, it doesn't matter about the network. Because Ohio State, Michigan State's already been announced as Peacock. But Penn State and Illinois will be either 7 or 7:30. The kickoff part's the most important part. You know, what network after that, that's their choice, and that's fine. We'll have to wait maybe 6 days out to find out the network. But like I said, in reality, that's irrelevant. It's what time you get to the stadium. That's the relevant part of it. The NFL, in the first 2 weeks, in my opinion, has been a boring product. Too many field goals. I thought there were too many field goals in week one, too many field goals yesterday. Washington won over the Giants on a day where the Giants scored 3 touchdowns and Washington scored none and won the game 21-18. Now, the Giants kept going for 2 points. I mean, after they missed the initial extra point, they went for two. It was like, does anybody in that staff know math? They're up 18-15. Kick. Make it 4. No, it wouldn't have mattered. They would have lost anyway, but still. But 7 field goals? The Steelers are 2-0 and have kicked 8 field goals and scored 1 touchdown. Now, again, the NFL is not about style points. It's about wins, losses. There are no style points in the NFL. But I'm just saying from a viewer point of view, you have to be kidding me. And I watched some of the Cowboys-Saints game yesterday. And I do have a bone to pick with the presentation of it. I don't understand. Like, the Cowboys have been moving the ball. They're moving the ball. Their offense is moving the ball. guys, in the end, one team scored 6 touchdowns. The other team scored 1 touchdown and had 4 field goals. Hey, you got to bring up in the broadcast the stalling of drives, and you've got to bring up the fact that it takes 3 field goals to beat a touchdown. Never brought it up. Oh, they're moving the ball. Stop hyping the game. Just tell everybody what's going on in the game. Okay? Stop hyping something that, like, anybody's saying, like, another field goal? Well, they're not really catching up now, are they? Then they get the ball back and they score a touchdown. Well, you're 4 points further behind you were before. So, you know.
They are America's team.
Right, but again, like, give us the reality of it. Don't tell, Dallas is really moving the ball, da-da-da-da-da. No. It's like watching last night's Houston-Chicago game. That was a really, really boring football game. Got off to a good start, and then it just got mired and nobody could do anything. And Fairbairn had to kick a couple field goals over 50 yards, including a 59-yarder. But again, what was the story last night? The story last night in that game was that there were 7 scores in the game and 5 of them were field goals. In fact, my apologies, I think there were 8 scores in the game and 6 of them were field goals. 6 field goals. Again. 2 by Chicago and 4 by Houston. People want to see touchdowns. And right now, this league is not producing a lot of touchdowns. Now, it'll be interesting to see when we finally get a good look at the Chargers. It looks like they're scoring. We know New Orleans is scoring. You know, they have 47 in the opener. I had, 41 yesterday, something like that.
Yeah, right. I think it ended up 41-19.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we know they're scoring. We know that Kansas City can score. Cincinnati was okay. But it's just too many games right now where there's just not a lot of scoring. Now, I think the Eagles will score tonight. The Falcons are not very good. And, again, the Entertainment Sports and Programming Network will spend a lot of time on Kirk Cousins not being able to win on Monday night on primetime games. Like, and spend no time. Like Dan Patrick, by the way, just did a great job in his commentary. Because Dan Patrick understands football. And he knows if he's talking football, he's not talking down to the audience. Right? He's talking to the audience. Talking with the audience. Kirk Cousins' problem right now is the same problem as Aaron Rodgers. It takes you at least a year and a half to really go from being functional with a repaired Achilles as opposed to being able to excel with a repaired Achilles. I've seen that point blank in my own career, watching players, right? Saw how long it took certain guys to get back both in football and basketball from an Achilles. Tim Frazier was always the best example. He ruptured his Achilles in Puerto Rico. I think it was against Providence. And Tim Frazier had the ability to blow by all 5 guys in the basketball court. Well, when he came back the next year, he was functional, but I'm going to say it's 70 or 75%. And so he could maybe blow by 3 guys, but he couldn't get past the last 2. And it really affected how he played the game his senior season. And then when Tim was finally a year and a half out, almost 2 years out. He was in the G League, and he was blowing people away with his speed, and it got him to the NBA for 10 years. So Kirk Cousins is functional right now. He can function with it, but he can't do everything he was doing before. As Dan Patrick, in an outstanding job, pointed out, only one under center to clock it. Right? Play action, couldn't really do it. But he's probably still a better option right now than Michael Penix. And that is something that plays a role tonight as to how Philadelphia defends this game. Just like it plays a role for the Patriots on Thursday night when they play the Jets, because Aaron Rodgers. Now, Rodgers is slightly more than a year removed from an Achilles, and Cousins is 10 months. I mean, this is one of those injuries that takes a lot of time to finally get back to where you were before. Plus, these guys are older now, and the recovery takes longer. Now, will ESPN's in the pregame show spend any time on this? Of course not. They would rather talk about why he hasn't performed well in primetime games, like, you know, the gobbledygook that just doesn't advance the ball at all. Just doesn't advance the ball at all. I mean, what do you think? I mean, Todd, is this exciting football to watch? Plus, I think there are too many penalties.
There was not. I think at one point I saw kickers were 60 of 63 on field goals in week two in the NFL last week. I think that was before the Sunday night game.
They're 34 of 36 now, including last night, on field goals over 50.
Yeah, that I can't imagine. I think if this continues the whole season like this, I think there are probably going to be some narrowing of the goalposts or something along those lines in the offseason. And I hope it's just, you know, a function of, you know, what we were talking about last week, that they're not crisp yet. They haven't really practiced much together other than these last 2 weeks. But no, it wasn't a very exciting brand of football. I think in the third quarter last night, I think was 5 punts, 9 penalties, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mind-numbing.
I think there are too many penalties being called. I watched the LSU-South Carolina game. Every time I turned around, there was another penalty. It doesn't mean there weren't some penalties being called. Then I'm watching the Houston-Chicago game last night. Every time I turned around, there was a flag on the field. Like, oh, for goodness sakes, again? There was one where Caleb Williams is obviously throwing the ball away because the ball is about 10 to 12 feet over everybody's head. And they call pass interference. What?
Is that the one that Chris Collinsworth tried to explain that it was pass interference because the ball was high?
Yes. They're like, what are... You know what? There are certain moments where, guess what? Don't talk. Okay? Don't talk.
And then, obviously, I don't know if anybody was... I mean, we had obviously had the best view on TV and then missed the pretty blatant punch on the sideline.
Yeah, that was well explained. They explained that well as to why they couldn't do anything about it on replay. Right, but the pass interference one, no, Chris. Okay, he's throwing the ball away. You keep the flag in your pocket. The interception on the sideline by Houston. Okay? And they called pass interference in the center of the field. Okay, you got to hold that flag to see if the ball's going in that direction. Okay? Hey, just hold it. There's no need to throw a penalty flag there unless, like, he's going to release in that area. He got held. I'm going to throw the flag now. The officials need to use some common sense out there and have a feel for the game. Hold the flag if it's not going in that direction. Because Williams wasn't even looking in the center of the field. The whole thing was designed to go down the sideline. He didn't even look at the center of the field, and he only sort of turned him a little bit. Keep the flag in your pocket. It has nothing to do with the play. Come on. Too many flags. And too many flags happening on spots of the field where that's not where the play is. Okay? You can hold the flag for an extra second and a half, and if there is a foul that affects the play, doom, throw the flag. Okay? If it affects the play, throw the flag. Okay? If not, hold it. Hold it. Hey, these guys don't do that. Just, I mean, it has to me, it has to affect the play. That ball thrown out of bounds, okay, whatever contact there was, had no effect on the play at all. None. No advantage was gained. Are you gaining an advantage? If no advantage is being gained, don't throw the flag. And they're throwing it for every time I turn around. Now, this is also a product of what you and I talked about last week. You made a great point about the preseason. To be honest with you, I'm waiting for the coach to look back and say, you know what, we got to do things the way we used to do it. We're going to play our starters in the first quarter of game one. We're going to play them one half in game two. And in game three, we're not going to play any of them. What innovator is going to come up with that brilliant idea to go back to the way it was, where you at least have a better shot of coming out sharper as a football team? But you have an entire world telling them to bubble wrap everybody. No, can't play them. Can't play them this day. Can't play them that day. Can't play them. Got to bubble wrap them. Got to get ready for the playoffs. It's September. No. What, because you're worried you may lose them on your fantasy team? Really?
I'm guessing it's the same guy that's going to realize that all the linebackers are 215 pounds and going to go two tights and pound the ball.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what we're seeing today. Yeah, you got to bubble wrap everybody. Can't play them in the preseason. And then they're like, gee, they don't look sharp. Well, of course they don't look sharp. They haven't been playing. And played a game since January. And now you've got this product out there, which the NFL can't be proud of. Now, the Eagles should win with relative ease tonight. Atlanta's just not good enough. And Cousins isn't good enough yet to make a difference in what Atlanta's doing offensively. Because a healthy Kirk Cousins would have a fun night. He may not win, but he'd have a fun night with that defense. The Eagles' defense is, in my opinion, is in the middle of the pack, if not slightly back from the middle of the pack defensively. Eagles fans don't like to hear these things, but it's I have no dog in the hunt, so I can be honest about it. Offensively, I think there's a golden opportunity tonight for Jahan Dotson to get in the mix because A.J. Brown can't play tonight. Dotson did not get a catch against Green Bay in the Brazil game. We'll see. The Eagles should be able to win with relative ease tonight because Atlanta is no better than okay defensively. They're okay. Not bad, but okay. And offensively, they don't have... Robinson's a terrific running back. Pitts is a terrific tight end that they can move out to the slot. Cousins doesn't move well enough after the Achilles. And who knows how long it's going to take him to get that back. It could be a year and a half. Could be 2 years based on age. Same thing with Rodgers. You watch Rodgers play. Same story. You can tell they're both a bit ginger. They're not in pain. They're just a bit ginger because the Achilles in the healing process is good enough to play, not good enough yet to do everything that you could do before.
So. I'm interested to see how Aaron's bounces back on a short week.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And again, the Patriot defense is not bad. Not great, but not bad. And you're right, it's a Thursday night game, so. I don't know. And then there's Georgia. Great against Clemson in the opener. But Kentucky is no better than an average team. I mean, remember, I know it's an SEC game. Not everybody in the SEC is great. There are some average teams in the SEC. Okay? Kentucky's one of them. And they struggle like crazy in that game. I mean, I'm sure that Carson Beck was looking for Brock Bowers all over the place, and then he found him. It was yesterday on TV. And Bowers looked great for the Raiders yesterday. A great performance. And what, 9 catches? Very impressive. All right. Take a break. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over $12,000, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. And I make that statement as a customer. Buying experience was phenomenal. Product line, great. The way everything was set up with payments, fabulous. They also have a great pre-owned inventory. Lots are filled with it, and they take the time to go over each and every one of them with a fine-tooth comb, thus the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Service department, whether it's inspections, routine, or difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Steelers did win yesterday. And and look, the NFL is not about style points, so they're 2-0. Now the Ravens have played with greater flair and style; they're 0-2. Steelers defense has played great. Chris Boswell, the place kicker, has been terrific. The Steelers so far this season have scored 9 times. Only one of them has been a touchdown. The other 8 scores have been field goals. And the T.J. Watt has been a game wrecker, just an absolute game wrecker. He has played so well to this point, and he's not the only one. Now, have they faced good offenses? Obviously, we've already gone through Atlanta's problem with Kirk Cousins probably at 70%, which is typical for being only 10 months out from an Achilles injury. He's probably at 70%. And Bo Nix is not ready yet to take the next step. In fact, it's interesting that the quarterbacks that were drafted in round one, three of them are starting right now. You know how many touchdown passes they've combined for to this point? None.
They tried like heck to tell me that Caleb Woods was playing okay last night, or Caleb Williams, but I didn't really see it.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. Look, just be honest about what he's doing. He's not doing well out there. The game, I will say this. Chris Collinsworth, to his credit, did make a great comment when Williams escaped at the goal line. It looked like Will Anderson had him. He said, look, the difference is, he says, back at USC, he could probably get away and make a play. But the speed of the NFL is completely different. And now, moments where he would have been able to get away a year ago, he can't get away now. And it affects his production as to how he plays, because he was able to get a lot of plays where he was able to get away and then make a play. Now he can't get away to make the play. So, you know, it's, you know, yeah, like I said, I had a problem with, I don't usually have a problem with that, but I had a problem yesterday with a couple of things. One was the Dallas game. Like, the Cowboys are not finishing drives. They're settling for field goals. It takes three field goals to beat a touchdown. Just say it. Just say it. It gives everybody a perspective on what they're watching. One team scoring touchdowns, the other one's getting field goals. Well, every time that happens, you actually fall further behind. All right. So in last night's game, every time I turned around, there was another flag on the field. You've got to have a feel for the game. If the ball is going in that direction, it's going in that direction, then you got to throw the flag. But if it has nothing to do with the play, nothing, keep the flag in your pocket. I don't care. Hey, penalties are all about, did you gain an advantage? Now, look, if a quarterback's scanning the field, boom, read, okay, and goes with the third read, and they couldn't go with the second read because the guy was being held, you got to throw the flag. But when he's throwing it down the sideline, and it's obvious that's the only thing he's trying to do there, you keep the flag in your pocket on the guy over the middle. Come on. You could hear everybody in the crowd going, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. It's not enjoyable to watch people officiate games. It's not. And I know that officiating, there's a problem. I understand that. They get too much grief from the fans. There are fewer people going into officiating now. I understand that. But you got to show some common sense with what's going on out there. If you are not, see, the worst officials are the ones that, I saw it, that's it, that's a foul, that's a penalty. If it has nothing to do with the play, if somebody's not gaining an advantage, let it go. If it has nothing to do with the play, or, like, for example, holding on the offensive line, quarterback's going back to pass. Did you create an advantage? Absolutely. You probably bought the quarterback a little extra time to make the play. You've got to throw the flag. Okay? There was a ball that was thrown out in the flat. It's a swing. And DeAndre Swift was the lead blocker, and whomever it was for Houston, he wrapped both arms around him and he rolled him to the ground. Like, yep. Gotta throw a flag on that one. And then there's Ja'Marr Chase. What was your thought on watching Ja'Marr Chase yesterday?
I'll be honest, I was watching much more of the Steelers game.
Okay. So Ja'Marr Chase, there are two things that are maddening for any team. One is pre-snap penalties, for obvious reasons. Those are unforced errors, and you just gave them a free 5 yards, whatever. Okay. The other one is, okay, post-play penalties. And, of course, I'm talking about personal fouls. So yesterday, what are they calling the tackle now that just looks like a tackle? But
hip drop.
Hip drop, supposed to be a point of emphasis, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. It's football. He thought there was a hip drop on the tackle he made. So he gets up and he says something. Okay, well, the official doesn't do anything about it. He said something. Okay. Heat of the moment. Yeah, good officiating. Okay. Then he turned around and leave. Then he went back. Well, when he went back, and I don't know what he said, he got flagged. And you can see his teammates are jumping in trying to pull him back. What's wrong with you? What, you're going to say he's going to change him? You know what? You're right. No. You cannot put your interest ahead of the team. You just, now, they ended up getting a field goal from Evan McPherson out of it. Long field goal. They got it. But you can't put your interests and your anger above the team. He cost them 15 yards on that play. Right? Then he goes to the sideline. Zach Taylor became one of the few coaches I've seen in the last couple of years in the NFL actually to say something to a player during the game. And he got mad and he took his helmet and he threw it. Like, what are you doing?
That's why it was a little surprising to me how Brian Callahan handled Will Levis's play yesterday.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, well, yeah. But he even said something, I think he called him dumb in the, or called it dumb in the press conference after the game.
Well, my recommendation is make smarter plays.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you heard me talk about that the athleticism of every sport is the greatest I've ever seen in my lifetime? I mean, every sport. Man, you watch baseball, the best athletes I've seen on the baseball field in forever. And, you know, basketball, college and pro, wow. Best I've seen. Hockey, wow. Sleek, fast. Right? Football, man, look at the speed. You watch special teams? Wow. But they played smarter hockey back then. They played smarter basketball. They played smarter football compared to what you see today. Right? That's why when you get somebody that really can, that is a great athlete that can play the game because they know how to play it, wow. That's special to see. And you see some guys that absolutely fall into that category. But I see some of the dumbest stuff. I'll sit back and go, what are you doing? I mean, so often I'll sit there and go, what are they doing? Now, I think in college it's excusable because, look, you're younger. But you're in the pros. This is all you do for a living. And you make some of those decisions? Really? This is all you do? How many hours of meetings do you have a week saying don't do that?
For some of them, obviously not enough.
Right. Evidently not enough. I mean, it's just amazing. I sit there and go, wow. Okay. Now, again, some of this is pressure related. I don't mean the pressure of the game. But like, you know, I'll see some quarterbacks make some decisions, but they're under so much pressure. And I think there's been more pressure on quarterbacks this year than at any time I can remember. Where, you know, they may not be getting sacks, but there's a lot of heat on them. And that's why it's no surprise the three rookie starting quarterbacks don't have a touchdown pass yet.
I found this when we were on break. In the first 2 weeks of the season, there's been 136 made field goals and 124 offensive touchdowns. There's never been more made field goals and offensive touchdowns in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
And remember, the Saints have scored, what, 12 touchdowns?
I think so.
Yeah, they've got 10% of the touchdowns.
The Eagles and the Falcons have to combine for 15 touchdowns for that not to be true, for there to be more touchdowns than field goals.
the Eagles might get at least 5 or 6 touchdowns tonight. The Falcons will struggle to break 20 points tonight. I'd be surprised.
The Falcons get 5 touchdowns. I'm just answering the phone, turning up the mic, and walking away tomorrow.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. And we were talking about Georgia earlier. I mean, Kentucky's average. So, I mean, Georgia does have these games. Everyone thinks they rout everybody. They were behind at halftime to South Carolina last year. They were behind at halftime to Auburn. 2 years ago, they had to rally with 5-6 minutes to go with a win at Missouri. So this happens to them sometimes, but it's so early in the season, you want to see if this is a trend or not. You know, because they clobbered Clemson. But their game against Kentucky was incredibly average. And against an average team that, by the way, Kentucky didn't exactly play out of its mind. And then the South Carolina LSU game. Oh, boy. It was the number of penalties in that game. Over and over again. Another flag down. It's taking away from the enjoyment of the game. Now, are some of these people committing penalties? Yeah, they're committing penalties. But again, you've got to have some common sense about what's affecting the play and what isn't. And it's like, I don't know. I love football. Just, there's got to be a little different approach than what we're seeing. In some in the NFL and some with officiating. And officiating's hard. It's really hard. But I think you've got to use some common sense with what you're seeing. You're not being graded on every flag that you throw. Hey, I threw 12. Good game, Bob. No. That's not how you evaluate them. Did you do a good job in the, you know, did you affect the game? Now, I realize people committing penalties affect the game, but for example, the interception yesterday I mentioned on the sideline. It's a great play. Everybody's excited. It's fun. The whole deal. No, there was a penalty called on pass interference in the center of the field that had zero to do with the play. Zero. Nothing. Never should have thrown the flag. Why? Because it did not give Houston an advantage. Because Williams loaded up and was going one way and one way only, and he went that way. And now if the receiver, I can't remember who it was interfered with, okay. Then that affected the play. If there was holding, that would have was a reason why Williams could get the playoff. Yeah, that affected the play. A guy being spun around in the center of the field, okay, where the ball is not even remotely intended for, is not affecting the play. Just isn't. Got to have a little more common sense out there with what's going on. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 10. KOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over $12,000. And they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Good news. You're not exactly paid by the flag. I mean, it's too many penalties being called. It's taking away potential big plays. I know cover two plays a role in what we're seeing right now. I'm surprised that teams have not done a better job this season in the NFL of adjusting to what cover two is. I know they're trying to make you grind out 8, 9, 10, 12 play drives to get whatever points you can get. I also understand when you get to the, inside the 20-yard line in the red zone, you know, the field shrinks and there's not as much ground to cover, and it does make a difference. Okay. But I thought during the off season, you would find offenses and coordinators coming up with better answers to the amount of cover two that's being played, where they're just taking away big plays in the center of the field. It's not like they're playing quarters or anything like that. You know, by playing quarters, you can take the safeties and bring them up, and they act like nine in the box and the whole thing. No, they're playing pure cover two out there. And it's just been surprising that there haven't been better answers. Now, maybe after the month is over with and everybody's into the groove of playing, we'll see more of that. I'll say this, San Diego. The Chargers have not had trouble so far, neither have the Saints.
The one common denominator is they each have one game with the Panthers, though, too. Who might not be ranked in the top 25 in the NCAA.
To play.
Listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.